morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have updates on coronavirus, including how schools will use federal stimulus money, Keystone XL construction, and we'll hear from someone in Bozeman recovering from a suspected case of the COVID-19 illness. It's Wednesday, April 1st. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl.
With Montana News, I'm Corin Cates-Carney.
And I'm Nikki Ouellette. As of 7 p.m. Tuesday, Montana is reporting just shy of 200 known cases of the COVID-19 illness caused by the novel coronavirus. 15 people are hospitalized, and Governor Steve Bullock announced a fifth death due to the disease yesterday. He also said 32 people have recovered.
Bullock is requiring anyone coming into the state to self-quarantine for 14 days in an effort to prevent further spread of the illness. And he's authorized the Montana National Guard to do some screening measures for people coming into the state by air or rail.
So an airplane will unload. They will temperature check everyone coming off of that airplane, give them some information about the request for or the directive of a mandatory self-quarantine. To the extent that someone has a temperature, then that individual will be asked to then have an immediate consult with a doctor, and that'll be by telephone or by video. To the extent that they have a temperature, we'll also then provide that information after we make a request of where that they'll be sheltering for the next 2 weeks. We'll provide that information to local public health authorities to follow through.
That quarantine order is in effect through April 10th. And sidebar, during the 2009 swine flu epidemic, that's how I was greeted when my plane landed in Russia. Back in Montana, tourism and travel groups in popular destinations like the Flathead Valley are asking hotels and short-term rentals to stop accepting new bookings.
Even as a couple high-end Montana ranches are featured in national magazines as places to, quote, ride out the coronavirus quarantine in style, end quote.
Now, as April rent checks are coming due, Bullock is telling landlords they can't evict tenants who don't pay their rent.
Now, let me be clear. This directive, it's not a free pass on rent or on home debt. Tenants and homeowners still need to meet their obligations and should do so on time where they can. But so long as this virus forces Montanans to stay home to save lives, Montanans need a home to stay in.
While rent is still due and Bullock is encouraging people to pay if they're able, Bullock's directive says that during Montana's stay-at-home order, which lasts until April 10th, landlords can't evict tenants and also can't charge them late fees or penalties. The order also puts in place a temporary halt to residential foreclosures and shutoffs for utilities and internet services. Many utilities had already voluntarily ended shutoffs before Bullock's order.
And Corin, we're starting to learn more about what Montana's share of that $2 trillion relief package that Congress passed last week, what that'll look like here in Montana.
Big picture, $1.25 billion is coming into the state. That will go to many different kinds of programs like SNAP benefits and rural broadband grants for distance learning and telemedicine grants. There's also some money outlined for firefighting assistant grants and election security. And as we've talked about before, election officials in Montana are starting to think about running the June primary by all mail-in ballot. There's also $80 million in here from Montana that could be spent to help with Medicaid costs. There's also money for rental assistance and housing. This federal bill is funneling a massive amount of money into Montana, and for some context, it's equivalent to almost 30% of the money that was last budgeted for the state's general fund, and that's a two-year budget.
Whoa. So with all this money coming in, do lawmakers have to decide how to spend it right now?
No, all of this is getting dumped into the state's general fund, and the state, directed by the governor, has to spend it in very specific ways as outlined by the federal government. If this money isn't spent in those ways, the federal government is going to consider this state debt.
Montana had to call a special session in 2017 when state finances got into some rough times. Is it looking like that might happen again?
So there's a lot of economic uncertainty going on, and this was a question that came up yesterday in a call with Montana's legislative leaders. And the short answer is legislative leaders are saying it's really too early to have a conversation about a special session. Here's Senate President, Republican Scott Sales.
I think it's a little premature to start talking about a special session. Certainly if the revenue doesn't come in, which potentially it won't, if you look at, you know, the economy shutting down in so many different ways, and the price of oil collapsing and the price of copper collapsing. And so there's a lot of moving parts. I certainly wouldn't think that we could rule it out, but I think it's probably premature to try to say at this point that we're going to have a special session, but it's certainly something we need to be attentive to.
And as we reported last week, state finances were looking good coming into this crisis. So there's a little bit of a financial cushion that the state's built up. But at the same time, the state's usual way of making money, taxes, will likely be hit as the economy sputters nationally, globally, in these uncertain times.
Are any sectors in particular kind of harder hit than others?
We'll learn more in the coming weeks and months, but legislative finance analysts told lawmakers that money coming into the state is expected to be lower from oil and gas sales and the hospitality industry.
One of the earmarks in that big federal relief package was $100 billion for hospitals. Do you know how soon that will be in hand?
Governor Bullock said on a press call yesterday that it might not arrive for months. And yesterday, as a bridge measure, he relaxed some parts of the Montana Facility Finance Authority Act. Bullock's directive now allows that authority to be used to finance COVID-19-related operating expenditures for healthcare facilities.
On that same press call, Bullock talked about a bit of leaked audio from a call on Monday between Western governors and President Donald Trump. Bullock told Trump on that call that he hasn't been able to buy enough test kits or personal protective equipment supplies, and that his orders have sometimes been preempted because the federal government stepped in. Bullock said, according to reporting by CBS News, that Montana is trying to shift supplies to isolate emerging hotspots like Gallatin County by doing contact tracing, but that, quote, we don't even have enough supplies to do the testing, end quote. That was on Monday that Bullock said that. Yesterday, he told reporters,
there has been no one turned away from tests because we don't have enough test kits.
Bullock said during that press conference Tuesday afternoon that there are 1,600 tests available in Montana, and until last week, the state could get 600 tests a day. For reference, Bullock says the state lab could run about 500 tests a day. So the governor says that if there was a hiccup in those supply chains, the state maybe couldn't get a shipment. He says an interruption of even a day could start creating a significant backlog. He also says there is competition between states for supplies and tests. Bullock has said locally he's concerned about testing and supplies getting into the state, but that worry seemed really turned up in the audio that was reportedly leaked earlier this week.
So last week, Corin, we said we're recording in our bedroom closets. Why are we doing that?
Right. We've gotten some questions about that. We've talked about social distancing, and my idea of social distancing isn't spending time in my closet. Now that I have to be away from the studio at MTPR, I hang out in the closet next to my shirts, and it creates as close to a studio as I can get.
Yep, protecting our hosts who have to be live on air. Thanks for the update, Corin.
Thank you, Nikki.
Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks announced Monday that inspectors in Dillon intercepted three boats infested with invasive mussels since March 16th. FWP says news about the novel coronavirus caused a big spike in boat traffic as people returned home. Rachel Kramer reports.
Boat inspectors in Dillon found two pontoons and a motorboat with visible dead mussels on their propellers and hulls on the 16th, 21st, and 24th of March. Last year, the Dillon station stopped three mussel-infested boats in the entire season. Liz Laudman, FWP's Aquatic Invasive Species Information Officer, says the boats belong to several snowbirds returning home, one Montanan and two Canadians. She says they did not plan on recreating in Montana. FWP said in the press release that the amount of boat traffic during the first 2 weeks the Dillon Boat Inspection Station was open was like what they normally see in the summertime, not March. FWP said boat traffic returned to normal over the same weekend Governor Steve Bullock's stay-at-home order went into effect. To prevent the spread of the COVID-19 illness, FWP inspectors are required to maintain a 6-foot distance from the public and regularly clean and disinfect equipment and tools. Each inspector is assigned a specific task so that equipment isn't shared. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Governor Steve Bullock is directing landlords to not evict tenants who aren't able to pay rent while a statewide stay-at-home order is in place. The directive comes as reported cases of the novel coronavirus continue to grow in the state. Unemployment has skyrocketed around the nation and in Montana as businesses close and workers are laid off.
Now, let me be clear. This directive, it's not a free pass on rent or on home debt. Tenants and homeowners still need to meet their obligations and should do so on time where they can. But so long as this virus forces Montanans to stay home to save lives, Montanans need a home to stay in.
Bullock says the order also prohibits late fees and other penalties due to late or non-payment of rent during the stay-at-home order. It also stops residential foreclosures due to non-payment. The governor says his directive does not provide state funding to landlords. Bullock's stay-at-home order lasts through April 10th. Yesterday afternoon, Bullock announced the fifth death in Montana due to the COVID-19 illness. Montana's public schools could receive about $41 million from the federal stimulus package Congress passed last week. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports schools will have a lot of flexibility on how they can spend that money.
The Montana Office of Public Instruction says that emergency funding will be delivered through Title I, the federal program that provides dollars to schools with high percentages of children from low-income families. OPI spokesperson Dylan Klapmeyer explains that 90% of Montana's roughly 400 school districts are eligible for Title I program funding.
So almost every school district will be seeing a bump in their Title I funding that they will be able to use with maximum flexibility. They don't just have to use it for Title I services. They can transfer it to just about any of their budget lines.
Klapmeyer expects that the U.S. Department of Education will provide the state with an application to apply for the funding in the next week or so. While both OPI and the department hope to expedite the process, it typically takes months for the money to reach schools. Montana is also expected to receive an additional $8 million for both K-12 and higher education from the federal bill, which will be divvied up to schools by Governor Steve Bullock. OPI says there are additional grant dollars from the Department of Education districts will be able to apply for directly. It's still unknown how much the speedy shift to remote and online learning will cost school districts statewide. If additional funding is needed, the state legislature could hold a special session, but lawmakers are saying it's still too early to determine if that's necessary. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
The first of the month is when many low-income families have access to monthly benefits for supplemental food programs. As Kay Erickson reports, people grocery shopping with these monthly benefits are navigating more than empty shelves.
Lori Ann Burhop, the Montana Food Bank Network's chief policy officer, says programs like Women, Infants, and Children, or WIC, disperse funding in a lump sum at the start of the month.
Families receive a prescribed food package based on the household members in that WIC family, and so they are only able to purchase certain items with their WIC benefit.
If those items are not there, WIC shoppers may have to postpone their shopping for another day, or they could go without. Most WIC brands are identified on the store shelves, and that's where other shoppers can help out, says Gail Espeseth, the WIC program coordinator at Riverstone Health in Billings.
If you see a WIC label, like look for another product that's okay for you, that might help our families a lot. I know they would appreciate that greatly as well.
And Espeseth wants those who are temporarily unemployed to know that they may qualify for food assistance.
WIC is still open across the state. We're providing services. We don't do it in person right now. We do everything by the phone and by email, and we're figuring it out. So we want people to know that we're still here. WIC has benefits available.
I'm Kay Erickson for Yellowstone Public Radio News.
A Canadian company says it plans to start construction of the disputed Keystone XL oil pipeline running from Canada through the U.S. in April after lining up customers and funding. Kayla DeRoche reports.
TC Energy says it'll kick off construction on the oil pipeline in Phillips County, Montana, while also enforcing social distancing and screening to prevent the spread of the COVID-19 illness caused by the novel coronavirus. TC Energy spokesperson Sarah Rayburn says there could be up to 100 workers on site during peak times, although usually fewer.
Some of the measures that are in place right now is working primarily with local workers. And basically a lot of orientation information on COVID expectations, awareness and prevention, and using health and safety personnel to kind of monitor all of those guidelines that are in place and at site.
Bozeman-based Barnard Construction Company is the primary contractor. Barnard Construction Company's COVID-19 preparation plan includes COVID-19 training for workers, self-reporting of symptoms, and maintenance of a daily log at all locations to account for personnel comings and goings. The U.S.-Canada border is closed to non-essential travel. TC Energy says no equipment or people are crossing that border. Energy production and construction are considered exempt from Governor Steve Bullock's stay-at-home directive. Environmentalists and some American Indian tribes bitterly oppose the pipeline's construction. Calgary-based TC Energy says the provincial Alberta government will invest $1.1 billion to cover construction costs through 2020. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
The number of COVID-19 cases continues to climb in Montana, but with limited tests, not all patients with symptoms are tested and included in the state count. Rachel Kramer spoke with someone in Bozeman who is recovering from a suspected case.
Allison Brown was never tested for the COVID-19 illness caused by the novel coronavirus.
I didn't check a lot of those boxes to say, hey, yeah, this person needs to get the nose swab.
Her doctor said Brown has a suspected case, but because she didn't have a fever over 100.4 degrees, she didn't need a test. On Tuesday, Governor Steve Bullock told reporters nobody has been turned away because of a shortage of test kits. But he's voiced concerns over the availability of testing materials. Tests are only ordered for people who are showing symptoms and fall into at-risk categories. Not everyone who requests a test will get one. Brown says she knew whatever was making her sick wasn't a normal cold or flu.
Kind of feels like your lungs have compression socks on them, or if you do resistant workouts and you kind of know how those rubbery resistance bands feel, it kind of feels almost like your lungs are wrapped in them and that it's uncomfortable to try to take a full breath and it can be really sore.
The 33-year-old digital marketing specialist at Montana State University says she noticed a change about a week ago. She was getting winded while walking her dog. At first, she thought it was her asthma or allergies acting up.
But then a day after that walk, it wouldn't leave. And I haven't used my inhaler in a good 2.5-3 years. And I had to start using my inhaler to make my chest stop hurting. And that's when I was kind of like, oh, something might be a little strange.
By that afternoon, Brown says she couldn't get warm and slept for the next 24 hours. Over the next couple of days, she says she had a headache and sore muscles, but the thing that really stood out to her was the feeling in her chest. And she says she felt tired all the time.
This weekend, as I was on the up and up, I would be like, okay, you know what usually makes me feel better after a cold is, instead of schlubbing around in my pajamas, take a shower, change your sheets so they don't feel so germy and yucky. And even something as small as that. And I was like, oh, gotta take a nap now.
Brown says as someone with a history of asthma, lung restriction isn't a completely foreign sensation. But she says she can see how scary it would be for someone who's not used to that or for someone with a more severe case who needs a ventilator to breathe.
Even though I thought I was washing my hands enough and cleaning enough, I still managed to get it. And it's just like, it's a sneaky little virus.
Brown says be kind to yourself if you get it and take social distancing seriously to slow down the spread. Brown says she's not sure where she picked up the virus. Gallatin County health officials say it's spreading in the community. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for the WORM is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about the WORM is available at ypradio.org.